Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Colbún's Earnings Results Conference Call. My name is Crystal, and I will be your operator for today. At this time, all lines are on listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If you need operator assistance at any time during today's conference, please press star followed by zero, and we will be happy to assist you. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Olivia Huth, Head of Investor Relations. Please proceed.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Colbún's Investors Conference Call. My name is Olivia Huth. I'm the Head of Investor Relations of Colbún, and joining me today is Cristián Morales, CFO of the company. Hopefully, you have received our second quarter press release via email, or you have downloaded it from our webpage. I will start this call with an explanation on the main drivers of the second quarter results. Then Cristián will comment on the status of our CapEx plan and the recent relevant events about our company. Finally, we will have some time for Q&A. So let's go through the analysis of our second quarter results. In terms of EBITDA, we reached $128 million. That is 47% up from the $87 million recorded during the second quarter of 2009, and 40% up from the $92 million of the previous quarter. So the $37 million increase in EBITDA of the second quarter as compared to the first quarter of this year is explained by five main favorable effects, which are partially offset by two unfavorable effects. These same effects are shown in the graph on page 3 on our press release regarding this quarter. The first favorable effect, as compared to previous quarter, comes from a 7% increase in hydraulic generation. This higher hydro output is consistent with the system's operation of depleting the reservoirs at the beginning of the second quarter of the year, before the rainy season starts, in order to accumulate water during winter time. The comparison with the same quarter of previous year shows a slightly higher hydro output of 3% for the second quarter of 2010. The second favorable effect is related to higher sales to unregulated clients as compared to previous quarter. Those higher sales are driven by a 10% increase in physical sales to that type of clients, as well as a 4% increase in average sales prices. This rise in sales is mainly explained by customer consumption recovery to normal levels, which had been affected by the earthquake, also to new consumptions of existing customers, and the application of indexation formulas to their respective contracts. The third favorable effect of the quarter, as compared to previous quarter, is related to higher sales on the spot market, as compared to previous quarter, which was driven by two factors. The first factor is the higher physical sales to the market as a result of higher dispatch of the company's power plants, mainly thermal plants. This higher dispatch can be explained by, one, higher electricity demand in the system, which was about 4% higher than previous quarter, and two, lower hydraulic generation in the system as a whole, which was 7% lower than the previous quarter. The second factor that increased revenues from sales on the spot market is the higher average spot price. As a reference, the system's marginal cost, which determines the spot price, rose from an average of $133 per megawatt during the first quarter up to $148 per megawatt hour during the second quarter. This increase is mainly explained by the lower hydraulic generation in the system just mentioned above, and hydro. Just for your record, hydro represented 49% of the system's total generation during the second quarter of 2010 versus 54% during the first quarter of the year. The fourth favorable effect in our second quarter results comes from other operating revenues, where we recognized an insurance payment of $10 million. This payment corresponds to a compensation for business interruption at our thermal power plant Antilue in November 2007. And the fifth and last favorable effect registered during second quarter is in gas purchases, and is due to the settlement of excess payments in the past to the gas company Total for gas supply. This settlement allowed us to recognize a credit in the gas purchase item for $9 million. Before we move on to the negative effects of the quarter, it's worth noting that these last two favorable effects are non-recurrent. The first unfavorable effect, and which is in fact directly related to favorable effects I recently mentioned, was the higher fuel cost incurred due to higher physical sales as compared to first quarter, which were supplied by thermal generation with diesel. The second favorable effect is explained by lower natural gas availability from Argentina and local providers. Remember that Metrogas supplied us gas during the first quarter as part of a gas return and gas surpluses. This fact, this lower availability, reduced Colbún's generation with gas during the past quarter to practically half as compared to previous quarter, which had to be replaced with higher diesel purchases. On the non-operating side, the favorable evolution from a loss of $46 million in the first quarter to a loss of $24 million in the second quarter resulted mainly from two items. First, the absence of negative accounting effects, which were registered last quarter as a result from the partial prepayment of the syndicated loan. It should be noted that these effects were non-recurrent, and their absence in the second quarter affected positively our financial expenses item as well as our non-operating expenses item. The second effect affecting non-operating results are the higher non-operating income due to the collection of an insurance payment for a total of $4 million. The income tax item registers a loss of $18 million during the second quarter as compared to the gain of $11 million recorded under previous quarter. The income tax item is the result of temporary differences generated by exchange differences that rise from keeping financial accounting in dollars, in U.S. dollars, and tax accounting in Chilean peso. Local tax calculations, tax assets and liabilities are carried in Chilean pesos as per local rules and are converted to U.S. dollar at the end of period FX rate. The latter produces exchange differences that have to be recorded in the income tax line in accordance with IFRS. In summary, the higher EBITDA, the positive evolution of non-operating results, and the negative evolution of income tax took second quarter net income to $56 million, up from previous quarter's net income of $23 million. Cash flow analysis highlights the $116 million of cash flow generated from operating activities during the second quarter of the year, explained by EBITDA, and the recovery of approximately $23 million from non-contracted regulated customers' accounts receivables, partially offset by interest payments of $16 million. These $116 million exceeded the $98 million of the first quarter, mainly due to higher EBITDA. Cash flow generated by financing activities was a net outflow of $53 million during the second quarter, mainly resulting from the dividend payments for $50 million, corresponding to the period ended in December 31, 2009. Cash flow used in investing activities was $84 million in the second quarter, explained by total disbursements of $77 million made in connection with the construction of the Santa Maria 1 thermoelectric project, the San Clemente mini hydro project, and the San Pedro and Angostura hydroelectric projects, which Christian will comment in the next part of the call. In summary, net debt decreased by $45 million during the second quarter. Net debt increased by $45 million during the second quarter, reaching $850 million as compared to $805 million at the closing of the first quarter. This increase reflects the cash flow generated by operating activities during the quarter, offset by dividend payments and investing activities.
Julia. Now that we have gone through the main drivers of our second quarter results, I would like to mention other relevant facts concerning our company. Today, one of the main focuses of Colbún is developing its expansion plan, so I would like to comment briefly on the status of our projects. On July 30th of this year, the Mini Hydro San Clemente power plant of 5 megawatts performed its first synchronization, connecting itself to the central grid. So as today, the installed capacity of Colbún reaches 2,620 megawatts of installed capacity. Now regarding the Santa Maria coal thermal project, which has a capacity of 342 megawatts, we estimate the startup for the second half of 2011. This delay is the combination of slippage accrued by the EPC constructor and the earthquake impact. As of June 2010, direct expenses from repairs due to the earthquake were registered for an amount of almost $17 million, out of which 10%, which is the insurance policy deductible, has been recognized as a loss in our income statement. This amount includes the payment presented by the constructor and other direct expenses incurred by Colbún. We continue with our advisors and loss adjuster the process of determining the final claim due to the earthquake. The construction all-risk policy that we have includes advanced loss of profit coverage. Now, the San Pedro hydroelectric project of 150 megawatts, it's concluding the preliminary works like access roads, material removal, and is also progressing on the deviation tunnels, currently with a 70% progress. Now that we have cleared the project area, we have been able to better assess the quality of the land. We are conducting additional studies, and with information gathered up to date, it is foreseen that changes will be made to the design of civil works. These changes mainly are the expansion of the dam towards the north riverside and adjustments to the water intake works. Once concluded the engineering studies, these changes will be presented to the environmental authorities. The Angostura project, which is, has a capacity of 316 megawatts, is currently in the access road construction phase and replacing the existing roads that will be affected by the project, as well as building the entry portals of the deviation tunnel. Civil works and electromechanical equipment contracts were awarded in June. Now you probably see that we published two relevant events the same day that we published the results. The first one was the early termination of two natural gas transportation contracts that we had with TGN and with HSBC as trustee of the transport system expansion in Argentina. These contracts were to expire after the year 2020 and involve an annual payment from Colbún of approximately $15 million. To early terminate these contracts, Colbún committed to pay a compensation of approximately $42 million, which in accounting terms implies a loss effect on results to be reflected in the 2010 business year. The second relevant event regards the purchase of the 15% minority stake that the International Finance Corporation held in our affiliate Hidroeléctrica Aconcagua. Through this purchase, Colbún acquired 100% direct and indirect ownership of Hidroeléctrica Aconcagua. The purchase and sale prices of the shares amounted to approximately $31 million. In accordance with accounting standards, this transaction has no impact on results, but does have an effect on equity as a result of the difference between the amount paid and the accounting investment. As a reminder, Hidroeléctrica Aconcagua owns and operates three hydroelectric power plants called Blanco, Juncal, and Juncalito in the Aconcagua Basin, with a total installed capacity of 91 megawatts. For more details on the two relevant events just explained, please log on to our website for the official version reported to the SBS. I think this concludes Colbún's second quarter result review, and now we are open to questions that you may have.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question over the telephone, please press star followed by one on your phone. If your question has been answered or you would like to withdraw your question, press star followed by two. Questions will be taken in the order received, and please press star one to begin. And your first question comes from the line of Sergio Zapata with Bank Chile. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and congratulations, Christian and Olivia. The results were very successful for you. And my question is related to the contract signed last year with Codelco. At the moment, the company said the contract will be involved by a new thermal capacity supplied. And one option was Santa Maria 2, a coal facility located in Cornell, zone which already has another three coal plants. Upon these factors, has the company taken a decision about Santa Maria 2 coal project? And in your opinion, after last news about thermal coal Barrancones, could it make it more difficult to its building? Thank you.
Thank you, Sergio, for your question. First, one information regarding the contract of Codelco. The contract does not oblige Colbún to build an additional coal plant. Yes, so it's not part of the contract to oblige Colbún to build the second one. Now, Santa Maria 2 refers to a second coal unit for all the other people listening. It's a second unit with similar characteristics to the first unit, which is currently under construction. The second unit of the Santa Maria project has been environmentally approved together with the first unit. The decision regarding the start of the construction of the second unit has not been taken yet, Sergio. Expected electricity demand for the coming years, new power purchase agreements beyond the year 2015, and I would say the access of Colbún to LNG in the coming years are some of the relevant pieces of information that have to be considered before the decision is taken to start the construction of its second coal unit. Meanwhile, at the beginning of this year, Colbún has signed an option to develop this project with a Korean EPC company, but this option will expire at the end of this year. I think that's the information we can give today regarding the status of the Santa Maria 2 project.
Okay, thank you, Olivia. And just one more question.
I would say that project has generated a lot of reactions within the country because it's, I would say, a new phenomenon in our society. Personally, I think it's too early to draw conclusions, but it seems relevant at this point to mention that the President has insisted on the fact that this intervention in the case of Barrancones project is a one-time and extraordinary measure. So my personal assessment is that this event has triggered a real debate on Chile's future energy matrix, and it is creating consciousness regarding the need for new investments in the sector to meet growing demand. And I would say that this requirement will oblige the government to provide clear long-term signals, and I think personally it will avoid major amendments to current environmental regulation.
Okay, thank you, Olivia. And just one more question. After finishing use of LNG in Nehuenco and considering the current drier conditions, has the company some agreement in order to operate this plant with LNG, or it will be keep using diesel?
Thank you. This is Christian. You know that we have burned LNG in the two Nehuenco, one and two, so the two units are ready to use that fuel, you know, and that this is not so obvious because at the beginning, you know, we had some doubts whether we were able without investment to burn LNG. But they have burned LNG and we are ready to use that fuel. I think we have access to some excess gas that Metrogas had in the past, so we are a natural partner with Metrogas to burn excess gas that they may have from time to time. And there are other off-takers of the regasification terminal that have spare capacity, and you know probably who I'm talking about. And so it's in interest of both parties to have some sort of agreement, and we continue to explore business opportunities to have access to natural gas. I think natural gas has a cost differential compared to diesel, about 30%, which is relevant when we are talking about these volumes of energy. Of course, it's not a cheap source of gas, as we have discussed many times in the past, but it will give us some cost advantages. So we are continuing to explore to strike a deal with some of the off-takers of the pool.
Okay, thank you, Cristiana, and congratulations again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Josephine Shea with Hartford Investment Management. Please proceed.
Good morning. My question is on the last two comments you've made on, and you said there were articles on the website, but it's in Spanish, and unfortunately I don't speak Spanish and I couldn't find the articles. So firstly, you talked about early termination of some kind of contract, and you had to pay $42 million. Could you give some more color what that means? It's not quite clear to me why you did it, what the what the result is. And then you bought or you sold a minority stake for $31 million? I'm sorry, I couldn't quite follow it, and I couldn't find it in any documents. Thanks.
Yes. No, sorry, Roy, about our English. But this, regarding the early termination of the gas transport, you know, when we had gas from Argentina, we signed take-or-pay contracts with gas transport companies. And the portion in Argentina was served by TGN. And so given that we ran out of gas, we had legal arguments to settle that and to early terminate that contract. We were obliged to pay until year 2020, an amount of $15 million per annum, regardless of we had gas or not. So we early terminated the contract by paying $41 million, but effectively, if we are generating a haircut of about 70% if you take, I don't know, whatever discount rate. Okay, so this is in my opinion, it's a positive, economically it's positive, but it will have a one-time effect of posting a loss during this year because of the down payment that we have to make. That's regarding TGN.
Could I interrupt? It sounds good, but so you have to pay $15 million per year, but you did not receive any gas in return. Is that?
That's correct.
But you had
That's
to pay
correct.
It because you signed that contract, whether they delivered the gas or not?
Exactly. It was a take-or-pay contract.
But didn't you want to take the gas?
No, there's no gas from Argentina. You know, as you know, Argentina is restricting gas export. So effectively, it's no gas available for Chile. So we were paying for the transport, but we didn't have access to gas.
Okay, so the $50 million was almost a flat fee, but it doesn't sound like and on top of that, there was a take-or-pay contract, but there was no gas, so you didn't receive anything.
Exactly. Those are the facts.
Okay, and then so instead of having to pay $15 million for another 9 years, you paid $42 million up front, and now the $15 million next year and the year after won't reoccur.
Exactly.
Sorry, thank you. All right, sorry. And the next one, other transaction?
No, the other is just it's a minor transaction. You know, we were partners with the IFC in a small, well, relatively small hydro plant, and they own a 15% of that company, and we reached an agreement to buy this. We, Colbún, acquired that 15%, and so effectively we now control 100% of that company. So going forward, you will see no minority interest in our financials.
Okay, and that was $31 million.
Exactly, for the equity, including everything, the equity.
And that's all the third quarter of 2010, right?
Right.
Yes.
And then CapEx going, this is my last question, I'll open the floor, but, and then CapEx going forward, has anything changed in your capital expenditure plans?
No, we are continuing to advance in the three major projects that we have, Santa Maria 1, the coal fire unit, and the two hydro projects, San Pedro and Angostura.
And it will still be around 125 per quarter?
I would say that's a fair amount, yes.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star one if you would like to ask a question. And your next question comes from line of Sandra Monete with Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, Christian and Olivia. Quick follow-up on the previous question. The $42 million loss you're going to take on the early termination of the contract, is it going to show all in this third quarter? Is it going to be split? I know the cash flow goes out to 3 years, but how is it going to show on the income statement?
Our accountants have told us that we have to recognize the loss in one shot. This is during the third quarter because the event was produced or generated during this quarter. Another story is about how TGN is going to withdraw the money from a escrow account where we deposit this proceeds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. And one other question on the hydrological conditions of this year. We are a few months into the year. Is it looking like a dry, semi-dry year in Chile for the rest of the hydro year, do you think?
And you want to take that one?
Yes, indeed. The dry scenario we're facing can be measured by two indicators. I would say the level of our reservoirs and also precipitation statistics. And both indicators can testify what you're saying is that we're facing a dry year. First, the level of the company's two main reservoirs, which is the Colbún Reservoir and the Chapo Lake, are both below the level they reached last year, and last year wasn't a very wet year. And statistics on precipitation, rainfall, up to date show a deficit of over 30% as compared to average precipitation statistics in the basins where Colbún's main hydro assets are located. So as a result, hydro generation at our plants during the months of July and August has been low, almost 40% below the production level of the second quarter. So this will affect our third quarter results. But then with the start of the melting period in October, we expect the last quarter of the year to benefit from more hydro generation.
Yes, okay, yeah, that was kind of my question. How is the snow season coming? So what we should expect, you know, for, say, the second half of the hydrological year?
I would like to stress that Olivia said that July and August have been 2 months of low hydro production. Today, September the 1st, we're receiving the first what we call the snow smelting forecast.
Okay.
From the city, so we will have a better assessment of how much snow is up in the mountains. Okay.
So it's a little too early to ask about this. Okay.
Yeah, but you know, on the other hand, Sandra, sorry, you know, oil prices are going down, so those are good news in relative terms, of course. As I explained to Sergio in some previous questions, we may have access to LNG that also will allow us to better face a dry a dry condition. So I think the company is well prepared to face a dry condition.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And you have a follow-up question from Josephine Shea with Hartford Investment Management. Please proceed.
Hi. Could you possibly give your view on your spot sales versus other sales? Has anything changed in your customer base? Just a little bit more color around what you're seeing at the moment. And I assume that because the Chilean economy is stabilizing, you're seeing that in your sales, that going forward, you know, possibly your declining revenue should turn. Is that correct?
Yes. Without going into details, I think generally speaking, demand is going up, you know, and we are seeing electricity demand. Today 8 to 10% month over month. So we are really seeing that demand is catching up after 2 years of almost zero growth or even a negative growth. So that's one comment. Second comment is that our contracts are very much a fixed blocks of energy. So we don't face the same demand growth, okay? So today, as we explained, we have a total commitment of about 8,000 gigawatt hours, and that's it. It's fixed to that amount. So going to the first part of your question, how our sales goes to contracts or spot, today with our capacity, we are serving our contracts, and we have a good balance with own capacity, competitive capacity to supply those 8,000 gigawatt hours. And we have been able to sell something to the spot market, but gaining not a high margin on those sales, because all our competitive production goes to supply our contracts. So I don't know if that's somewhat answered your question about demand growth dynamics, our revenue mix, and how demand will affect our revenues. And I think you also mentioned our revenues are going down by sure, but because we have done that on purpose by reducing, you know, the contracts, to somewhat lower the commercial leverage that this company had in the past.
Yes, okay.
We are gaining better EBITDA margins, as you have seen.
Yes, actually, you're right. Thank you for reminding me. Those are all the questions. Thanks.
You're welcome.
There are no further questions. Please continue.
Okay, then we will terminate this call, and I would like to thank all the people that participated and for their questions, and we'll meet for the results of the third quarter. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect and have a great day.